at you guys in place, ready for the children's message. Well, our gospel reading this morning, guys, comes from John chapter 1. The Holy Gospel according to John. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and declared, "Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the gospel of our Lord." Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. After traveling to 3 different states and 3 different time zones over the past 3 weeks, we are glad to be home. 3 weeks ago this weekend, we were at a wedding in Arkansas that required both planes and automobiles for us to get there. And the only real travel challenge we had during that trip was a challenge that I created when we showed up at the wrong hotel at 2 a.m. I thought I'd made reservations at the same hotel for the night we landed and the night before we left after the weekend, but apparently I hadn't, so we had to get in the car and drive 9 miles to our real hotel for that night. But at least it was in the direction we needed to go in the morning. 2 weeks ago, I was in Reno at Synod Assembly with Roger and C.C. Linder, and you'll hear from them and about their experience at the Assembly during announcements, and you may have read their report that was attached to our e-blast on Friday. For that trip, I didn't need to change time zones, and I was able to drive there and back on 1 tank of gas, barely. And finally, last weekend, we were in Connecticut for a celebration of 130 years of ministry at Hilltop Covenant Church, where I served, or we served before coming here, for 8.5 years. And that church has made the painful decision to close. And so it was good to be together with folks. Their last Sunday in worship will be next Sunday. It was a tiring weekend. And it began with the longest day of the year, and maybe the longest day of my life. We left here on Thursday morning, a week ago Thursday, at 9:35 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. That's what time we had wheels up on our airplane. Obviously, we got to the airport before that because we are good travelers. We had wheels down at Bradley International Airport in Hartford, Connecticut, a little after 4 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. After picking up our luggage and our rental car, we were driving to our hotel a little after 5 a.m. in the pre-dawn light. Talk about a long day, and it wasn't my fault. However, last week when we traveled wasn't even the longest day of this year. It was a long day for us, but the distinction of the longest day of the year is on the summer solstice, which won't happen until this Tuesday, June 21st. Summer solstice is the longest day in every year, and for us here in Citrus Heights, there will be 14 hours and 57 minutes between sunrise and sunset. In Cromwell, Connecticut, where we were last weekend, there will be 15 hours and 12 minutes of daylight. In Stockholm, Sweden, where they celebrate midsummer for the summer solstice, there will be 18 hours and 37 minutes of sunlight on June 21st. And in Nome, Alaska, there will be 21 hours and 29 minutes between sunrise and sunset. Talk about a long day. Our sermon text this morning from 1 John focuses upon light, but not daylight. It focuses upon God as light, and in God there is no darkness at all. This text, as does most of John's epistle, echoes and elaborates upon John's gospel that we read and preached through during the winter. In the prologue of the gospel, we read that Jesus is the true light who was coming into the world. And later in the gospel, in one of his I Am statements, Jesus says in chapter 8 of John, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but have the light of life." Both of these texts are ones that we often point to during our Blue Christmas service, which we host in December on the shortest day of the year. And on that night, we point to the love of Jesus as the light that shines into the darkness of our lives, calling us to himself so that we might find hope, comfort, and maybe even some peace during those darkest and most challenging of days. But in 1 John, the contrast between light and dark is made about God. God who sent God's light into the world in the form of a man, God's very own son named Jesus. For God is light, and that light is righteousness and purity. And it's juxtaposed in our reading with darkness, which is the sin that has come to dwell among God's creation. Now, 1 John, as Pastor Bruce mentioned last week, is a letter, an epistle written to the early Christian church. It's written after the Gospel of John was completed, so it's about 80 to 100 years after the resurrection. And this letter's primary purpose is to affirm the humanity of Jesus, who was both human and divine, while also addressing the false teachings of the Gnostics. You see, the Gnostics claim to have secret knowledge and insights into who God is, which they thought set them apart from the rest of the community. Gnostics, it turns out, were walking in darkness, but they didn't realize it, or at least they didn't acknowledge it. And as a result, they were separated from God, whom they thought they had a special relationship with. You see, for John, sin and darkness aren't merely a list of the things that we are forbidden from doing. Sin isn't necessarily action. For John, sin is about a separation from God. So when John talks about sin, he's not pointing us back to the Ten Commandments. He's not pointing us back to the law. He's actually addressing the times where we are separated from God. So if we say we have fellowship with God but are not walking with God, we are walking in sin. We are walking in darkness. We are separated from God and we are lying to ourselves and others because we do not know what is true. Now the Gnostics thought they knew what is true. They thought that they knew what God knows, and as a result, they set themselves apart from everybody else. They thought that their secret knowledge made them better than others. Because, you see, they had the answers to all of life's questions. But, in fact, they were far from the truth. You see, by thinking that they were correct and everyone else was wrong, they created a division in the body, which is the antithesis of what God wanted. It is anti-Christ. And that's what scholars refer to the Gnostics as, is anti-Christs. So to be in Christ or like Christ in the light is to be in fellowship, in relationship with God and God's creation. It's not about perceiving yourself as being better than others or being the one who has the correct knowledge and the answers that nobody else does. Now, that might be difficult for us as Lutherans to hear. It's not about thinking correctly. It's about a relationship. Sure, we value education, we value study, we value spending time in Scripture, but we don't do so in order to set ourselves apart from everybody else so that we can be more correct than they are. We do so to enter into an even deeper relationship with God. Walking in the light that is love, grace, and forgiveness of our sins. That's walking in the light. And we walk in the light not because we've done anything to earn it or deserve it. We walk in the light because we need the light. We need the forgiveness that God has offered to each and every one of us through Jesus Christ. And that light, as it turns out, that light reveals what in us needs forgiving. And it reveals that to both ourselves and to God. But the light is not intended to be used as a piercing ray of judgment upon others. You know those old detective movies? I don't know one in particular to call upon, but where you see the light and it's being shown on the suspect and then trying to get him to crack and confess, right? It gets hot, and then finally he's like, I did it. That's not what the light of God is intended for. We're not supposed to be shining it on other people to reveal their sinfulness. The light of God's love is intended to reveal your own sinfulness that you might confess it to God, because God already knows and just wants to hear you come and confess that which is causing any sort of separation between you and God. We do so in order that we might not delude ourselves into thinking that we are more righteous, faithful, pious, or smarter than we are. We don't want to become like the Gnostics. Friends, for we have each sinned. And if we say we haven't, or if we deflect and say, well, they've sinned more, then the truth is not in us. If we say we have not sinned, we make Christ a liar and his word is not in us. But the text very clearly says, little children, if we confess God who is light, who is faithful, who is righteous, will forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So why do we pretend that we don't sin? What's that about? Why do we work so hard to make ourselves appear better than we actually are? If God is light and God is inviting us to God's self in order that our sins might be forgiven, who are we trying to fool? God has, is, and will pursue a relationship with us. And the light of God's love is chasing out the darkness. But why do we try to insist that we don't need the light? I'm not that bad. It was only a little something I did. Look at them, God. Not me. I'm just over here in the shadows. Not in full darkness. It's an eclipse, right? Why do we do such things when we then become like the Gnostics? Where we have it all figured out. I'm pretty good. I don't need that much forgiveness. I'm better than they are. We think that we think correctly. We think that we worship correctly. We think our theology is the most correct. And that somehow we have the market cornered on righteousness. It's a gift, my friends. Nothing we have created but what God has given to us. Such thinking leads us into the darkness, where we fool ourselves into thinking that we are the ones in the light, when in fact we are not. While we were in Connecticut, I was asked repeatedly about where I thought soon to be former members of Hilltop Covenant should worship in the future. And I didn't have the same answer for each and every one of them. Some of them I did steer towards the ELCA church in town where my buddy Paul is a pastor. You may remember Paul preached at my installation and ordination service, and he played the drums for us the Sunday after. Some of them I steer there. Paul's a good friend. I think he's a great pastor. But for some of them, I didn't feel like Bethany Lutheran would be a good fit. It's a reconciling in Christ church, and I didn't think they would be comfortable there. By doing so, I wasn't suggesting that they go into the darkness where people think incorrectly. I was suggesting they go somewhere where they are, where that's a better fit for them. That is, stepping into the light for them. And it's because Bethany doesn't have the market cornered on God's love or light or righteousness. The only way to the Father is through the Son, we read in John 14. For Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. That's how we get to the Father. It's not by our correct thinking. It's in our relationship through Jesus Christ. And we can enter into such a relationship at a church that's open and affirming and one that maybe has a different understanding of theology. We can enter into that relationship at Hilltop Covenant Church for the last 130 years or at Ascension Lutheran here in Citrus Heights or at Bethany Lutheran in Cromwell and maybe even the Congregational Church in town. That was a joke. Sorry, sorry, Pastor Doug. If we assume we have all the right answers, and that somehow our correct way of thinking is what keeps us in a right relationship with God, we have become like the Gnostics. And the truth is not in us, and we're walking in darkness. If we lean into the reality that we are sinful, we have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and we are constantly in need of God's mercy and help, we equally come to the table asking for God's forgiveness. Talk about unity. That, my friends, I believe is the light. And God is calling us into the light because God wants to be in a relationship with us. God wants to be in a relationship with all of God's creation. And God has sent God's one and only Son as an invitation to us out of the darkness. And that invitation is open to all. For we read that Jesus has died as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. But it doesn't say for our sins. It doesn't say for your sins or my sins. It says for the sins of the world. God wants all of God's creation to be redeemed, restored, brought back into the loving relationship within which God created it. On that first day, God said, "Let there be light," and there was love. For God created God's creation out of love and wants us to enter back into that love. I wrote a lot of words here and I said a lot of other words. So as the light of day increases this week, may the light of God's love increase in your life and in mine, that others might hear and see and come to that light, that they might come to Jesus Christ. Amen.